Hello and welcome to the Osteopod. In this episode, we're going to look at some news, some recent news about hospital closures and these unfortunate events. One that hit home, especially for osteopathic residents, the Ohio Valley Medical Center, which is located in West Virginia, and associated with the West Virginia College of Osteopathic Medicine. They had 33 DO residents displaced from that medical center. And this is on the heels of the Hahnemann closure, which made big news. This hospital, which has been open for at least 150 years, if not more, they had to displace 570 residents and fellows, not to mention the staff, the faculty members, everyone who worked there, basically, and the patients. It was really tragic and heartbreaking to read about some of those cases. And I don't know if any of you out there have ever been associated with such an event, whether it's been at work or a family member losing their job in any line of work. It's not fun. So I wanted to not only talk about these two hospital closures, but also to break down some details of what may have led to these closures, through some digging around on the internet, in addition to what we can do as future residents, or if we are residents now, or attendings later looking for work, what kind of strategies we could use to potentially avoid the situation. Of course, it's hard to predict this 100% to avoid things like this, but perhaps we can go into it a little bit prepared, just in case. So first, let's talk about the Hahnemann closure. This was done in June a couple months ago, and they basically declared bankruptcy, and they've had some financial problems for quite a while now, is what I've been able to find out through the internet. I found this interesting article that was written by someone at Drexel University, since Drexel worked very closely with Hahnemann to train residents as well as some medical students. And they said that these financial problems had been such a burden on the school that they had been planning to pull out for a while. They had originally planned to pull out in 2022. And going back into the history of these financial problems, they went back as far as 1998, where the Allegheny Health Education and Research Foundation, which had previously owned the hospital, went bankrupt themselves and had to sell. They sold to Tenant Care, which was a for-profit company, but they eventually lost money as well, and they were the ones to declare bankruptcy this year in 2019. So, 20 years at least of financial troubles. Didn't go into much detail as far as what those were exactly, but it's somewhat of the same story when we look at the Ohio Valley Medical Center. In another article, the CEO of the medical center said that in the past few years, at least two, they had lost 37 million cases, $37 million, and couldn't find a partner to help with the finances. They were now owned by Alecto, and they had lost some money because of some court cases having to pay out there. So, and it's really hard to see this happen, especially to a more rural type medical center, because not only do you have, your faculty members having to move perhaps farther away than they would like to comfortably, but you have to move those patients somewhere, the ones that are being taken care of. And so, according to the article, there isn't a close hospital for miles around this certain medical center. So, leading into that discussion, I found that there has been a trend recently for hospital closures to happen more in the rural parts of the country. 102 rural hospitals were closed since 2010 until now, at least stopping their inpatient care, having to solely rely on outpatient care at these places. However, still, with these department closures and loss of services, a lot of people lose out on that. And that's a lot of closures to happen especially for rural hospitals. And it's sad to see because, yeah, that might be the only place you as a patient could be able to go to. You think of a situation where someone has an MI and they are miles away from a center that could take care of them properly. Take a stroke, for example, you would rather go to a stroke center to receive that care. And so it's really hard to see that financially these hospitals can't provide the care that many people need, that all people deserve, basically, whether they live in urban areas or rural areas. So it's hard to predict what would happen, what could happen to hospitals that are now open for them to close because of changes in economy, healthcare administration policymaking as well, and as what happened with the Ohio Valley Medical Center with cases, perhaps, you know, mistakes were made, lawsuits were given, and, you know, there big losses could happen there too. Technology changes as well. Different services come and go based on the technology and the sophistication of healthcare. As that increases, I feel like those technologies are going to cost more. It's probably seen in how much healthcare is costing us as a country today. And unfortunately, those hospitals with more money can afford those more sophisticated technologies to provide service. And while that is of major benefit to those who need it, to all of us as human beings, it's hard to see that because that technology isn't very or easily accessible to places that don't have a lot of money or maybe a little bit out of the way. So I was looking at this another article here. It's a research article that was quoted in this website called Healthcare Finance News, and where they tackled the problem of these rural hospital closures. And they said that there are a variety of factors that lead to hospital closures, including lack of patients, patients moving more towards the urban centers to get access to better healthcare. Therefore, they lose services, they lose revenue, and they lose the ability to function as a hospital to provide the basic needs that it provides. And so they suggested that an adaptation to the changes in technology and the services provided, perhaps even pushing more outpatient services, which don't require too much technology to run, but can still provide a steady stream of patients and revenue to the hospital. Maybe some potential suggestions and solutions to preventing bankruptcy or financial loss at these hospitals. But as future residents, I'm looking at this from my perspective, going into residency, not wanting to be one of the ones, unfortunate ones affected by a hospital closure, especially one that teaches residents, fellows, and potentially med students as well. Some other advice given in this article said to look for hospitals or residency programs that are affiliated with big hospital groups that have been, that have their arms in a lot of different places where people are going to go to receive care, the best care possible, try to look for those programs and rank them high as you apply for residency programs. Perhaps the smaller community hospitals that provide residency programs, you never know, they might be financially stable. Residency is just for a small period of time, and maybe the chances of these closures are very slim. I don't know how accessible as well, say, the financial records of Hahnemann were before, people started to go down this route and knew that it was going to be bankrupt sooner than later. I don't know how accessible those records are as you interview for residency programs or as a new attending as you interview for your first new job or second new job. I don't know if that is an appropriate or accessible question that you can ask during interviews. But if there is a way to look at that, I think that is also a good way to go, a good strategy to hopefully prevent yourself from being caught up in the situation where you are training or working. So, yeah, it's just really unfortunate that this happened, not only to DO residents, but to our fellow MD residents as well, at these two major hospitals and at rural hospitals across the board. So hopefully we can find some solutions to these problems, perhaps creating bigger groups and helping these rural hospitals become a part of bigger groups that are financially stable, so they can receive the money and the resources that they need to carry out the services that they provide at those individual hospitals. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that news to you guys and to talk about it a little bit. If you have any comments on this program, feel free to let me know at theosteopod@gmail.com. And if you have any other suggestions or topics of concern or of discussion, feel free to let me know there. And once again, thank you for listening to The Osteopod, and I'll catch you on the next episode.